Hello and welcome to the OU Students Radio on Wednesday the 9th of December. Tonight with me here in the studio we have, to my right, we have Mark. Hi Mark.
Hello Sue.
And on my left I have Kath.
Hi everybody, and it's my first time on the radio. I'm very nervous like any first timer.
And on the social media desk, also a first timer, we have Nikki.
Hi. Hello, Nikki. Hello everybody, thank you Sue. I have great expectations for tonight. I think it's going to be a...
What the dickens?
What the dickens?
Oh!
You might hear us throughout the evening say what the dickens if we mention something from Charles Dickens himself.
I've got a joke. What do you call a train loaded with toffee? A choo-choo train!
Yay!
We've already had some hellos from Amy, from David, and from Roz. So hello back from...
Hello back, all of you!
Hello!
All of
us. Hello.
Now, we're going to start off by talking about some of our traditions for this time of year.
I eat mince pies. I love a mince pie. Occasionally I've had a sherry with my mince pies.
I'm afraid most of my traditions, as anyone who knows me will probably guess, seem to involve gin, or occasionally whiskey, or maybe cocktails for a bit of variety. And then, of course, eating an awful lot and not doing a very great deal.
Do any of us study?
Festive.
I was going to
What's
say,
that?
Kath,
yes.
That probably doesn't go very well with TMA writing.
It doesn't, does it? It can be difficult to study this time of year. I bet most people are finding that. You've got kids running around the place screaming. You've got cats sitting on your work. You've got Santa coming in and spilling that sherry and mince pies all over.
We do have a joke has been sent in to us from Thomas. Would you like to hear it?
Oh, yes, please.
Why don't elephants like penguins?
Go on.
I don't know.
They can't get the wrapper off?
You got it.
Oh.
Is that a thumbs
Thank
up
you.
Or a thumbs down?
That's a thumb in the middle, that is.
Okay. Sorry,
Sounds
Thomas.
Sounds painful.
But thank you. Thank you for taking time to send your joke in.
One of the things that you can always bear in mind as well is we've all got this image, haven't we, of the Dickensian Christmas where everyone's surrounded by lots of family. If you're like me and you don't come from a big family, or, dare I say it, one that makes a particularly big deal of Christmas, you need to accept that's fine. There's not a problem with it. If you enjoy just not doing very much, or indeed just huddling up yourself, that's great as well. Don't feel obliged to be all cheerful and jolly and that sort of thing if it's not you. If you do want a bit of company, why not see if you can volunteer with one of the charities out there? Because it's easier to meet new people if you've all got something you're trying to do, something you're trying to aim for. There's quite a lot of opportunities to volunteer out there. And of course, there's more opportunities to volunteer all year round with your Students' Association.
Indeed there are. You can look on the website for those. But if you do end up with difficulties, then we do have peer support and we do have Nightline. The contact details of those will be put up on the website for you. Right. A visit from Christmas past, or a couple of Christmases maybe. We're going over to Marianne. She is our former president.
And she's welcomed so many of us here as volunteers in the past, hasn't she? She's really inspired a lot of us to get involved with the Students' Association. So it's great to catch up with her.
It is. Marianne's the first person who got me coming along to anything to do with anything central at the OU. It's all her fault.
Hello, Marianne. Welcome Hello. To OU Students Radio.
It's not my fault.
It is. We're going to blame you.
Just because I'm a long way away, you can't blame me for everything.
So I was mentioning that you were a former president of the Students Association.
So yes, and I'm the current past president.
Indeed you are. So would you like to tell us little bits and snippets about your time as president? Were you part of the Futures thing?
Oh, that's going back a long time.
Yes.
We're going back to 2007. It was Lisa Carson who started the Future project. She took office and said, I'm going to drag OUSA screaming into the 21st century. And she did. And she led the basis for the change in our conference, in our constitution, and in the whole structure of OUSA. It took a long time, because then Ros Evans took over.
Right.
And she carried on with the work. I think it was rather like herding cats, but she's very good at that. And she persuaded Conference 2011 to accept the new constitution and left me with implementing futures, which was great fun. Now, Conference had been something that sort of 200 people turned up to and spent a weekend voting on whether they wanted to change the constitution or not. And they couldn't do that anymore because the constitution was now laid down firmly. And what's more, it was open to everyone. So instead of 200, we had 400 and a bit. And they wouldn't all fit into one hall. So we had to have two halls running at the same time, and we had to have people who were not able to travel to conference online, and that was the problem I was left with. And then I discovered that we had a new IT specialist in our office who said, oh well, I can do that, and he did. And David McCann became our IT wizard, beloved of all the people online.
I think he's blushing. I think he's blushing behind the screens.
Well, he should be, because we've managed to put for the people online all over the world. They were able to join in conference. They saw every activity that happened and activities that weren't able to be broadcast. We gave them something that was very similar. And that was the first challenge of implementing futures. And it worked.
That's brilliant. I'm just going to finish up now by just asking you, from a student perspective, seeing as we recognise that it can be a difficult time of year for students to study, have you got a handy hint or bit of advice for a student who's going to be studying at this time of year?
Oh,
it's a tough question.
Yeah, I know. it's just a tough time, isn't it?
It is a tough time, particularly students who are alone or who have had a bereavement during the year or all sorts of reasons. I think it depends on the student. I would take to my books and bury myself in my books and let them take me through the holiday.
Well, thank you. It's been absolutely fantastic talking to you tonight, Marianne. We really appreciate you coming and having a chat with us.
And thank you very much for inviting me.
Looking forward to speaking to you again soon.
Just to add to that, we've had some chat going on the social media, and your efforts have been recognised. The number of hours that you've put in, even though you're living in Spain.
Yep.
So there are students out there who are talking about you and still know who you are and what you did for the Students Association.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye then.
Bye.
That was absolutely brilliant, wasn't it?
Lovely to hear again from Marianne, isn't it?
Yes. No, she was really supportive to me when I was Student Association Representative for Wales, or SAR.
And it's so lovely, actually, as a student meeting people who have important roles within the Students Association. The President was at my graduation a few weeks ago, and it was just lovely that she was there and she was able to meet students and shake their hands. We've had some more comments on the social media here about what to do about studying over Christmas time.
Brilliant.
So we have a comment from Kim Deborah, who says, you have to block time in your diary and keep to it. But the important thing is that you also have to reward yourself. So she suggests chocolate, although I know Kath might prefer a little gin at the end of the study time.
A little gin.
A big gin and a big chocolate. That's great. And cake.
So, yeah, I think Marianne's right. It really depends on the student. You know, you might want to bury yourself in the books and keep working away. Other people might want to take a break.
In every respect, figure out what works for you.
Yeah.
Whatever anyone else is doing, doesn't matter. Just figure out what's right for you. We're all different.
And I think, looking back, looking forward, we need to explore the archives of our student association, our university. don't you?
I think we do, don't we? And I think you did a bit of exploring at one point of that, didn't you, Sue?
I did. I met Ruth Cammies, the university archivist. That's a very difficult word to say. And we went to the archives and I had a splendid time talking about OUDA, OUDA.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
We're now sitting in the archive, and here is an excited Ruth.
Hello, Ruth. Hello. My name's Ruth Cammies. I'm the University Archivist for the Open University.
And how long have you been the archivist? I like that word.
I've been here since 2003, so it's about 12 years now.
So, can you let us know a little bit more about what the archive is and why it's here?
Yes. Well, the University Archive contains several different collections, mostly to do with the university's history. We have all of the course materials from 1971, when the university first started teaching, right up to the current day. So that's quite a large collection, and it includes print materials, video, audio. We've got a selection of home experiment kits, and we're also starting to capture websites as well.
Well, we're very modern then in the archive.
Yes, we're trying to capture kind of everything that the students get.
An experience. How fantastic. So will we get a chance later on to look deep within this archive?
Well, absolutely. One of the things I want to talk to you about today is the new Open University Digital Archive that's been launched this year. Back in September, I think we launched to the public and to students. The OUDA, as we call it, really has a few aims. It's going to help us preserve the materials. But it's also going to help us make them accessible, a lot more accessible than they have been before. You've always been able to come in and visit the archive and to view the materials, but now for the first time you're going to be able to watch some of our videos and see some of the images that are available.
Oh, wow.
We've got an annual lecture that was given by Harold Wilson in the 1970s, which is worth watching. But we'd love to have more OUSA materials. That would be great. So what you're hearing now is a clip from the very first Open Forum programme that was broadcast in January 1971. And this was the first programme that went out to not only students, but all the public that were listening as well.
Hello, and welcome to Open Forum. This is, in fact, the first of all the Open University television programmes. And we've invited along to the studio a group of students and also some members of the permanent staff. And as you probably saw when the programme started, we were already discussing some of the issues that we thought were important in saying, what have I let myself in for? And there was a very interesting point being made by a gentleman down here on my right, and I'd like him to repeat that because I think it is worthwhile and you'll find it's a common feeling of many of you. Would you like to repeat it for us?
So I'm Ralph Abbott. I'm from Cleethorpes in Lincolnshire. By profession, I'm a master mariner and a river pilot on the River Humber. And I'm reading Humanities. And I wonder how many other students, like myself, entered into this in a rather light-hearted manner a year ago by sending off an application form. And as you say, now suddenly begin to wonder, what have I let myself in for when we start receiving great big envelopes full of a lot of hard work?
Is this a general problem? Now, do the rest of you feel this? Do you feel...
I think the problem... I'm Phil Dice, incidentally, from London, and I'm a salesman, and I'm reading Humanities. I think the problem is, this really is the big unknown, and the questions that we ask ourselves are, after we've gone through the euphoria of getting our place, and the realisation starts to hit us when all the books come through, am I good enough? How are people going to assess me? How can I assess myself with other people? And I think this is, you know, this is the fear. And this is why these first weeks and feedback to me are going to be so important, because I think they're probably going to condition my approach throughout the coming academic year. But this big unknown is just that sort of opening the door into the dark. And, you know, is there a torch somewhere? You know?
You'll never guess. We're about to go into the archive. I have been reliably informed that there's no cobwebs, but I'm about to freeze. Not a cobweb in sight, but I'm going to be hypothermic, so if I fade out, dear listener, it's because it's cold.
So this is one of our two archive strong rooms.
Why is it cold?
It's cold because that helps the materials in the preservation, so it's kept at a certain temperature and a certain humidity.
There's humidity in here. I can't feel that for the cold.
So, yeah, this is the paper vault, so we keep paper and images in here, and then we have another vault for our audiovisual materials with slightly different environmental conditions. It's actually a little bit colder in there.
This is amazing. This is my university. Somebody came up with the concept. It was built. All the people who've come before me, who'll come after me, leaving their own mark. Wow. I think you're not part of something. Here in this, I have to say, it is freezing. I'm glad I'm wearing a hoodie. You realise it's huge. You know, that 250,000 students, those numbers who've sat at home and stared at the computer in this day and age, and the ones who, well, earlier you mentioned that they had the take-home kits of...
Yeah, in the experiments.
The experimental kits.
Yeah.
You know, it's all gone on, and it's all... There's a record of it somewhere. There's history and loveliness.
Well, Sue, it sounds like it was a bit cold in the archives.
It was a bit cold.
So... Was it a bit bleak house then?
What the dickens?
Might have been even a bit like the frozen deep.
Oh dear.
What the dickens again to you?
Well, we've heard on the social media from Lorraine that listening to the archives and going through the archives is just going to be another thing to do for TMA avoidance. What do you think?
Everything's perfect TMA avoidance. I wish I hadn't heard about this now. I really do. I'll never get any work done.
Okay, Mark, you're going to take us on a treasure hunt now?
We have three questions for you. Firstly, what well-known actor whose name begins with J...
Is that J for Juliet?
It certainly is. Performed in the 1978 BBC production of Richard II's.
Ooh. I don't know the answer to that one.
No, I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to go into the archive. What's the next question?
Okay. Find a link to the picture of the OU in 1970.
That was before all we guys were born, wasn't it?
No. You made me feel old now, Nikki.
I'm sorry.
And I bet it looks very different from what it does then from what it does today. And thirdly, which open forum from 1971 discussed proposals for a students' association?
Wow, that's
They're three, tricky questions.
They are. Really tricky questions.
And so why would students answer these three questions? Because they're really tough.
Procrastination.
TMA avoidance.
Yay. Or?
Or? Drum rolls.
They want to do something like more TMA avoidance.
Oh.
Haven't we got any prizes for them?
Yes, but I'm trying just not to mention it because I want to keep them spellbound going, I've done enough TMA avoidance. We have coming up, drum roll please, the good study guide available to the person who answers the three questions in one foul swoop, please.
So that's the first person to get all the right answers to the three questions you have just heard from Mark will win a copy of the Good Study Guide.
Yes.
And that will stop you avoiding your TMAs.
Yay!
Okay, I've had another cracker joke sent in. Do we want it?
Yes. What do we want? A cracker joke.
When do we want it?
Now.
Okay. This joke is sent in from D. Let's see if Cass knows the answer to this one.
Oh, dear.
What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the stockroom? She has no idea. She's shaking her head.
No,
anybody?
Sorry. No.
The janitor said, supplies.
Oh.
If you have any good jokes, please send them to us.
That's festive spirit for you, isn't it? No, that's a good one. I do like that one. It's one I haven't heard before as well, which makes it even better.
That's true. It's an original cracker joke.
Yes.
Didn't think that was allowed.
I'm just thinking back to something that while we were listening to the archive visit. What did you mention, Kath, about how tall the sleigh would be?
Yes, we did a little calculation that Santa's sleigh would have to be 10 kilometres tall and it would need to be travelling at about a third of the speed of light to manage it.
I imagine he's probably just working with Doctor Who in the TARDIS and that's how he delivers all the presents.
I think you might be right there.
Now, we're going to hear a voice from the present. We're going to have a conversation with an OU student, Dave, who is one of my colleagues in Northern Ireland. So it's great to have another friendly voice from back home. So we're going to talk to Dave and find out what he's studying, why he got involved with the Students Association, and we might even find out about his Christmas traditions and if he has any New Year's resolutions planned for 2016.
Shall we see if he's there?
Is Dave
online? There?
Hello, everyone.
Hi. Dave. How are you?
Hello. I am absolutely average. Thank you very much for asking.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, I was actually going to start with a cracker joke.
Oh, blimey, Dave. We should have known that. It's your sense of humour.
Okay, so just make sure everybody's seated.
Okay.
Anyone falling over and hurting themselves with laughter? What do snowmen wear on their heads?
I don't know. What do snowmen wear on their heads?
Ice caps.
Oh. We've
thank
all
you,
fallen
Dave.
Over. We've
thank
fallen out of our chairs.
Bad bunch. So.
And does the bad make it a good joke? This
well,
is the thing.
I think that's one. I mean, that's the philosophy behind the Christmas cracker joke, isn't it? That it can be absolutely awful. In fact, the worse the joke is, the better.
Yeah. It's a bit like some terrible Christmas movies we like to watch, but we'll not talk about them right now. So
I wasn't expecting to get into Christmas cracker joke philosophy, but there we go.
Have you studied philosophy with the OU, Dave?
No, I don't. I'm actually currently studying an open degree, and I'm making it up with various courses. And the ones I'm studying at the minute are software engineering.
Okay.
And I'm also studying the fundamentals of interactive design. So it's pretty full on, if I'm honest, but it's keeping me busy and keeping me active.
It sounds very technical from a person who isn't a techie.
Well, yeah, I guess it is a bit. The beautiful thing about it is, though, is there's quite a bit of crossover in both the courses, so it's not quite as they're not quite as different as I thought they might be, so... It's a bit of crossover, so it's all good. It's all good.
So, Dave, do you mind me asking if you've made any plans about whether you're going to keep studying over Christmas? Or are you going to take a break from your studies? Or are you going to reward yourself with a gin or a chocolate biscuit if you do manage to do some study? What's your plan for coping with study over the festive period?
Personally speaking, I'll probably keep on. My aim will be to keep up to date, and if at all possible, even get ahead, which is a rare animal in itself. But yeah, I think for me personally, I think I need to keep at it, and you know, maybe take a day or two off just over Christmas, and then get back at it in a more aggressive, if I may say, aggressive way just after Christmas. The problem is, you know, the assignments don't wait, you know, the assignments don't wait.
Sure. And there's a lot of bad TV to avoid as well. It's not just about TMA avoidance, bad TV avoidance.
Yes, I heard that's what you were talking about, TMA avoidance. Yeah, very good, yeah.
As well as studying, you're also a student rep. So how do you balance volunteering with your study and everything else that you have going on in your life? What role are you involved in at the minute?
Well, I think it's just comes down to time management, doesn't it? And ensuring, I mean, the great thing about being part of the Students Association is that you are involved behind the scenes, if you know, behind the curtain. You are you're actively influencing decisions that are being made, and I think that's very important, especially if you're wanting to complain about anything. I don't think you have the right to complain about anything unless you've had the wherewithal to actually get involved and make your own opinion heard.
Were you scared about getting involved? Were you worried about attending meetings or anything?
Especially with scary Nikki.
Yes, I was on many fronts. And, you know, the thing of it is, you start these things and people invite you places and then they get you on the radio and start talking. And it's all very terrifying, so it is. And I'm stepping outside my comfort zone on many fronts here.
But are you enjoying it?
Oh, very much so. Yes. Yes, you get to meet lots of interesting people. And also you get to put names, you know, faces to names that you've heard, sometimes names that you've seen, people who have run your course, people who have written course books, and you get to touch base with them and actually speak to them about the courses that you've done or the courses that you want to do.
And is that as your role within the Students Association? Is that as a central rep or as another role?
Well, that would be as a faculty rep, where I would be involved in talking with tutors who are producing the courses. With a course team who are producing the courses, and I'm actually able to, you know, put forward what I think and what I think the students who I represent think.
How many people are normally in these meetings, Dave?
It can range from 12 to, I think it was about 50 at my last meeting. And it's always a bit daunting to, you know, put your hand up and ask a question. But I think it's very rewarding, and I've never felt that any question I've asked has been seen as stupid. In fact, some of the stupid questions, air quotes, I've had people come up to me afterwards and say, look, I'm really glad you asked that question because I really didn't know what that meant. And these are people who have maybe been at the meetings for three or four years, you know.
So it's just like sitting in a tutorial when somebody says, I'm happy that you asked that because I didn't know either. You know, we come across that all the time.
That's it exactly, Nikki, yeah. I mean, you would know yourself because you're on quite a few of the boards committees yourself. So you would understand the not the pressure, but the fear factor that's involved.
Yeah, I think there is a fear factor when you're doing anything new. But for me, certainly, that's part of the reason that I'm here and that I am involved in the Students Association. It's to get over fears and get out there and do something that I don't ordinarily do in my everyday life.
Because you're very, very shy, aren't you?
Well, you know me very well. I'm a bit like yourself, Dave. The two of us sitting here talking on the airwaves.
I mean, on that point, Dave, I mean, you say Nikki's shy, but for you, as a fairly new to the central rep role, have you felt it's given you new confidence and it's in a way developed your knowledge of the subject matter?
Yes, you're absolutely right, Mark. It does give more confidence. For me, it's more a case of realizing that asking the question, being at the meeting, you know, doing the reports, they're not as big and bad as I build them in my head, you know. When you're actually in there, you know, everyone's very friendly and open to hearing what you have to say, even when I'm with the, you know, the Open University Students Association meetings as well, you know. And I think it's very good and very interesting to be able to keep up to date with the projects that the Open University are up to and also what the Open University Students Association are doing as well.
That's great to hear, Dave. I just want to let you know that everybody is going mad for your joke on social media here, and I've got another one for you from Zoe Lawrence. Okay? What did one eyeball say to the other?
I don't know.
There's something between us that smells.
That's very good.
So I think that one gets a thumbs up from everybody here. Well, thanks for speaking to us today, Dave.
No problem. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions for 2016?
You know, I'm not a New Year's resolution person. So okay. If I had one, it would have to be not to make any.
But then that would be a New Year's resolution, wouldn't it?
Exactly right. That's a little paradox for us to finish on. Not a problem. Listen, thank you very much for talking to me. And I hope you have a good show.
our guest here, Kath.
I'm going to do my normal thing whenever they let me loose. I'm going to be plugging societies. One of the things I do is I'm on the committee of a couple of OOSA-affiliated societies. That's Alchemy, the Chemistry Society, and Fusion, the Physics Society. Somehow I've just got roped into helping the Central Region Art Club as well, because the word no doesn't seem to be in my vocabulary.
Oh dear. Yeah,
that's a bit foolish, isn't it? And I'm chair of the Societies Committee, and that's where all the reps from the different societies come along. So I get to hear quite a lot about what all of our different societies are doing. We've got quite a lot of societies now. We've got 18, I think it is, affiliated at the moment, and there's lots more bubbling under and wanting to join us as well. So some of the ones we've got curriculum ones, we've got chemistry and physics, have to start with my own ones, psychology, history. We've also got a lot of other random things. Well, they sound a bit random to me, like bell ringing. Have a look. If you have a look for the OOSA Society Showcase, you've got a list of all the societies there. Just Google that. It's the first thing that comes up. And that will not only tell you how to contact those societies, but also will give you the email address if you'd like to create your own society. And there's nothing to stop you doing that. I managed it. You can as well.
How does King Wenceslas like his pizza?
Deep and crisp and even.
Well done. Oh, you did it. You need to sing it. Deep and crisp and even.
If I start singing, they'll all tune off, I'm afraid. I'm sorry.
I think, although it's not a New Year's resolution, it could possibly be a New Year hope that anybody listening today or on the catch-up who is feeling isolated would take the time to try and get involved somehow, because there is stuff out there. There are opportunities where you can meet students, have support, and just have a whale of a time.
Sure.
Can I just share a lovely comment we've had sent to us from Amy, who's been listening at home?
Hi, Amy.
Amy says that the radio show has really made her feel so much better tonight.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. So we do all belong to the same community, whether we're sitting in here recording the radio show and some of us taking part for the first time in the radio show, or whether we're sitting at home listening to the show for the first time. We're all part of that OU students community.
We are students like yourself. And yes, we've put ourselves forward and we have had the nerves. And now we're beginning to grin because we'll be going off air soon and eating probably more pizza.
But please, Sue, we want some more.
The Dickens.
Yes. No, we do want some more, don't we? OU Student Radio. This is our fifth radio show.
And how many have you been in, Sue?
Five.
I thought you had.
And I get nervous each time, but I come away absolutely elated, both from interviewing people, speaking to people, sort of volunteering with students for the first time, and it is just a brilliant, brilliant thing to be part of. Just another sort of string to my bow, which I never thought that I'd be part of.
Any last comments from our social media desk?
No, just to say thank you to everybody who's been chatting away all night. We've had lots of discussion going on. We've had students supporting each other about things that the OU and OOSA have to offer. We've had Cherry talking to students about the disabled students group. We've had people supporting each other about TMA time. We've even had people talking about what they are planning to do for their own New Year's resolutions. And just to thank everybody for all their jokes that they've sent in. I'm certainly going to use some of them around my dinner table on Christmas Day.
Don't forget, we have the online forums, we have the Facebooks, we have the Twitters, so please do get in contact with us. Don't feel isolated.
Well,
we hope that you've enjoyed listening today. We hope that you have got something out of it to help improve, make better, make it more enjoyable, your learning journey.
Or just a lot of procrastination.
Yes, if nothing else, procrastination. But I know we've been thoroughly jolly, but we are about to go into bar humbug mode, because obviously this is past, present, future Christmas, and old Scroogey Max Scrooge with his bar humbugs. What have we got in our hands?
Humbugs!
Festives to you all.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Happy TMA avoidance.
Bar humbug.
Thank you.